Welcome to the Natural Health 365 Talk Hour. I'm your host, Jonathan Landsman. As a quick reminder, Natural Health 365 Talk Hour show recordings, special events, and discounts are available exclusively for Inner Circle monthly subscribers. Simply click the banner you see on this page and subscribe now. Our show today, Curing Lyme Disease, Causes and Solutions. Our guest graduated from the University of Wisconsin Medical School in 1974 and worked for more than 20 years in traditional medicine. In 1997, he and his wife founded LifeWorks Wellness Center, now one of the country's foremost alternative health clinics, and in the year 2000, he founded Body Health, a nutrition company which offers a unique range of dietary supplements to the public and practitioners. According to the Centers for Disease Control, about 30,000 cases of Lyme disease are reported to the CDC by state health departments. However, this number does not reflect every case of Lyme disease that is diagnosed in the United States every year. Can you believe that? That's what the CDC says. In fact, if you read a little bit more carefully, the CDC goes on to admit that the number of people diagnosed with Lyme disease each year in the United States alone is around 300,000. The symptoms of early Lyme disease tend to be a fever, chills, sweats, muscle aches, fatigue, nausea, and joint pain. Conventionally speaking, antibiotics appear to be the only treatment option. But even within Western medicine, it's widely known that chronic Lyme disease patients continue to suffer even with aggressive antibiotic treatments. So what if there is a better way? Today on the Natural Health 365 Talk Hour, we'll talk about how these very specific natural healing protocols, including ozone and antioxidant therapies, can greatly improve immune function and rid the body of disease safely and effectively. Please join me in welcoming Dr. David Minkoff to our show. Dr. Minkoff, welcome.
Hello, Jonathan. Thank you.
This show is for educational purposes only. Always consult a trusted healthcare provider for medical issues that concern you and make an informed decision. For more information about Dr. Minkoff, you can visit LifeWorksWellnessCenter.com. Dr. Minkoff, what are some of the health issues you see Lyme disease patients suffering from that must be addressed before they can feel better?
Well, a lot of times the patients that we see have been through months and months and potentially years and years of failed antibiotic treatment from practitioners that have tried to help them. And so when you take antibiotics for a long time, the disturbance you get with intestinal biome and intestinal bacteria and leaky gut are a formidable problem, because a lot of times what happens with that is that then absorption of minerals goes down, absorption of amino acids and essential fats go down. So not only do you have a problem with the underlying infection, now with the gut, and then with secondary nutritional deficiencies, so that you have a host that can't mount a good immune response, can't heal up their intestine, and then with the leaky gut, you tend to get autoimmune type conditions. So arthritis and thyroiditis and things like that usually are part of this picture that we see. A lot of times people have brain inflammation too from these disturbances, so they have headaches or depression or anxiety and sleep problems. And so the whole sort of package that we see, usually before we can really effectively treat the Lyme, we've got to sort of reconstitute their body so that it sort of goes back on and it can deal with a chronic infection. So that's the usual picture. A lot of times, in addition to that, people aren't eating good food. They're malnourished, at least protein malnourished, many of them. A lot of times they have other secondary problems, like problems with their gums or teeth or chronic infection from those sources. And that's another area where if the immune system has to be fighting all these different things, that the Lyme organism itself doesn't get handled, because there's just too many things going on and the person's body is basically overwhelmed.
We haven't talked to each other that much, but it's amazing what you already pointed out, Dr. Minkoff. I had conducted the Holistic Oral Health Summit www.thehealthyhope.com. That's a website, and we did a summit last year where we talked about all of these infections that are in the mouth that just sort of spill out into the bloodstream, into the lymphatics. But the reason why I'm bringing this up is it does, I'm sure it's a big challenge for you at the beginning, and I'm sure it's a passion of yours to teach your patients this whole idea that you shouldn't walk into a doctor's office looking for that magic bullet. Like, okay, fine, I know I have Lyme disease. What pill do I take to get rid of the Lyme disease, like an antibiotic? Because if you don't take care of these problems in the mouth that are spilling infections into the rest of the body and causing the body so much pain and discomfort, how are you ever going to get over disease? And this is something that you have to kind of make that connection for people, no?
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. Health is a lifestyle. And, you know, the most important things, nutrition, sleep, managing stress, you know, these things, you can't be healthy without them. Then if you add toxic influences like toxic teeth or toxic cosmetics or toxic foods, then, you know, toxic not enough sleep, toxic job stress or marriage stress or whatever the thing is, you know, you can only take so much. There's electromagnetic stress everywhere. You know, we all are like, our bodies are under pressure, lots of pressure. And Lyme sort of, you know, most cases with Lyme disease, the disease isn't one of these. I was an infectious disease specialist for a long time. And if you look at the history of infectious diseases, there are bacteria or viruses from time to time during the history of mankind, that those bacteria were very powerful and they would take out huge numbers of people. So influenza in 1918 or polio in late 1940s, early 1950s, where these bacteria were or viruses were very powerful and they overwhelmed many hosts. Lyme generally doesn't act this way. Very few people who get a tick bite even know they were ever sick. You know, in the literature it says, oh, 40% of the time the guy will get a fever and flu and a bullseye rash. But I don't think it's even close to that. Most people don't even know they were infected. And this virus this bacteria is a smoldering, low-grade thing that over months or years then starts to produce symptoms. So we're not dealing with a very hot invader that overwhelms the system. This is a smoldering, slow-grade thing. And if the person's immune system isn't well, it doesn't win over this. And I think that lots of people are infected, but they get over it because their immune system, if it's healthy, will handle this bacteria, and they never get symptoms and they never get sick.
Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that antibiotics are no good in all situations, but this does seem a little out of control, and I want to get your opinion on this, your professional opinion on this. Conventionally speaking, you know, we talk about Lyme disease, and most people quickly knee-jerk reaction. It's, hey, I got to get a whole bunch of antibiotics, and that's what they hear conventionally. But from what I understand in your practice, you're almost never really doing this, so I'd love for you to explain this whole situation, please.
Sure. Like I said, I did a fellowship in infectious disease, and I was a hospital-based infectious disease doctor. And we saw people who had hospital-based infections, and they were serious, and we used antibiotics, and many times they were helpful to people. And if I saw somebody come in the office today and yesterday they were bit by a tick and they had fever and chills, I would treat them with antibiotics for 3 weeks because I think that in the acute phase, antibiotics can kill these bugs and end the infection and you're done. Almost all the people who turn up with Lyme disease aren't in that situation. These are people who have a chronic smoldering illness, and I just haven't seen that antibiotics work. They just don't work. These bugs are very crafty. They can go into a dormant phase where the antibiotics won't touch them. They can hide inside of what we call biofilms. They coat themselves with a mucus protein coat, and the antibiotics don't get in there. They can go inside of cells or inside of tissues where the antibiotics don't reach. And so I haven't seen that you can effectively treat chronic Lyme with antibiotics. It just doesn't work. they might feel better temporarily, or if they stay on antibiotics, they might feel better than they were. But as a long-term solution, at least the patients that I see, it doesn't work. You've got to do other things in order to get at these bugs and get the immune system of the person up and fighting. And so, as we talked about before, if we can get the immune system online, handle the dental things, handle their blood sugar, handle their nutrition, make sure they don't have deficiencies. You know, they have zinc and selenium and amino acids and essential fats. Get their bacteria and their gut fixed. Get their hormones balanced. Then, when we add the antibiotic type treatments, which include ozone and intravenous silver, we can then have solutions to the bacteria that will kill these bacteria and won't suppress or hurt the immune system, won't hurt the intestinal bacteria, and don't cause side effects in people, and people start to get better.
Now, I know most people listening to this program, they already get this. This is exactly the kind of physician you should be looking for when looking to resolve situations, and you're looking for help. Somebody who appreciates that it's your inner terrain and even your immediate outer terrain, you know, the people you're associating with, like you had said before, Dr. Minkoff, about EMF pollution. You know, what is going on in your immediate outer and inner space? That's what it's all about, improving the immune system. That's what we're going to focus on in this program. So let's talk about it a little bit more now. How does diet play a role in the recovery of people who are suffering with Lyme disease? And also, more importantly, what diet do you suggest?
Well, I find that the people that we see, about 99% of them have trouble with grains and they have trouble with dairy. So I automatically, when someone comes in, put them on a paleo-type diet, organic. So they can eat meat, fish, and eggs. They can eat fruits and vegetables. They can eat nuts and seeds. No dairy products of any kind, except they can have organic butter. No grain products. No rice, no wheat, no quinoa, no beans. Sometimes I'll take them off nightshade vegetables, which include white potatoes and eggplant and tomatoes. And I generally find that this helps their gut. It calms them down. They start having a bowel movement every day because many, many people are sensitive to these foods and they don't even know it. So that's a good place to start. Now, some people are very sensitive. I may do a food type allergy test with these people because it may be that they're sensitive to good foods too, and we've got to alter it a little bit. But generally, that's my kind of go-to thing. And I find that when I recheck people after 4 or 5 weeks, that they almost always tell me, boy, I'm feeling better. And you know, I'm having a good bowel movement now. And my GERD is gone. And my bloating and gas and heartburn, gee, I don't even feel it anymore. That we've removed the foods that are toxic to them and that they're sensitive to. And that helps a lot so that we can start to get their intestine healed.
Isn't that so important, what you just said about someone who feels like they're completely infected, they're trying to get over this, but if they're constipated, if they have digestive issues, they have that leaky gut syndrome that you were describing before, it could be the most innocent, organic, fantastic food that they're allergic to. They get this autoimmune reaction because their gut is in such bad shape at that point in time that stuff is leaking through and going into their body, and these larger molecules, if you will, from really healthy food are just identified as foreign enemies, right, to the body, right?
And the foreign enemies look a lot like our tissues. You know, these things go across, and then the immune system makes reactions to them, and the immune system, those things can look a lot like our cartilage and muscles and brain tissue. And then you've got your immune system attacking you, and then you've got headaches, and you've got aches all the time, and you have no energy. It's an autoimmune attack. Autoimmune means you're attacking yourself, and you have to get this turned off if you're going to heal.
I know that we're focusing a little bit more now on this whole digestive system, which really houses a lot of our immune system, but I just want to get your professional opinion to make sure we're not going off track here. This is really important, right? You see a lot of people with Lyme. Would you say it's fair to say that these digestive issues really have to calm down to get that inflammation down, get that immune system to kind of not necessarily calm down, but the way I like to put it is really hone in on what the immune system needs to be busy doing instead of always dealing with these incredible amount of toxins that could be in the body or all these disorders that are going on?
It's 100%. And honestly, almost 100% of every patient that walks in here, when we do our energetic testing on them, their small intestine and large intestine are the focal areas where they need to be healed first. You know, 70 or so percent of the immune system is based around the small intestine, and it's there to protect the body from foreign things coming in. And if that intestinal gut-associated lymphoid tissue is overwhelmed, you know, a small intestine has a surface area of a couple tennis courts. So you have a leaky small intestine. You've got trillions of particles coming in all the time that the immune system basically is like, no, don't come in. Try to hold it back because these are foreign proteins. There are potential dangers to the body. So the immune system is like, got everything it can possibly do to try to deal with this. And now you add another infection. You have Lyme bacteria or Borrelia or Burgdorferi, you know, or Ehrlichia, or, you know, the dozen or so things that have been identified with Lyme organisms. And when we look at blood under a dark field microscope, we see these guys, you can see these guys swimming around, and they should never be there. But the immune system is so overwhelmed, it can't keep track of everything. And it's like, forget it. We can't do it.
You know, I was just thinking of something for the first time ever and spending some time with you as an analogy. You know, when we're talking about the digestive system and how it kind of houses inside of it, right? We've got all this food that we're just sort of shoveling into our hole. And I'm saying this respectfully, but for those who might be disconnected with the incredible importance of food on our entire health, we're swallowing all this food, any kind of infections that are going on in the mouth that we're ignoring altogether, right? Not everybody, but those people out there who haven't thought about it enough yet, swallowing it down into our digestive system. It is the lining of this digestive system that's literally trying to keep all of this out, right? Until it breaks it down enough and is able to take out what it possibly could to do something that's worthwhile inside of our body. So what I'm saying is that digestive system is keeping everything out until it's broken down small enough. It would be as if I said somebody is punching holes in your house with a hammer or jackhammer, and they're constantly jamming these holes in the outside of your house. Wouldn't you want to stop that person from wrecking your entire house? That would be the thing to do. But yet people don't stop and think enough, hey, is this meal hurting me? Are these infections in my mouth that serious, punching holes in my body, that I've got to address this right away like a crisis? You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. The analogy is perfect, and it's what's going on in these people. Because honestly, when we get these basic things right side up, so to speak, like the gut calms down, the right food's going in, the bacteria's reconstituted, their neurotransmitter and hormone levels and deficiencies come back, handle the infections in the mouth, Lyme itself is not that tough to get rid of. The body, now you have your immune system working for you, and you can give these benign therapies, you know, these therapies that aren't toxic, using ozone and silver and vitamin C. The Lyme bugs go away relatively quickly. You know, we see them go negative very quickly when we're looking at blood, and it isn't this horrible, you know, most of the people we see, within 2 months, about 85% of the time, they are either, and I say, you're going to tell me when you're well and when you're ready to go home, because a lot of people come here and they stay here for a couple months so that we can treat them intensively. I say, you'll tell me when you're ready to go home. And a couple months rolls around, they say, I'm ready to go home. I'm feeling really good. I got my energy back. I've started to do some exercise. And I give them a home program so that they can continue it. And if at 2 months they're not done, they say, I'm not done, but boy, I'm 60 or 70% there. And I know I just need some more treatments, and I'll be there. And that's the rule if you actually make the person's health well and you restore that, then their body can deal with it.
Okay, I want everybody to get ready to take a whole bunch of notes. I know it's going to be worthwhile as we focus on the next half of this program, talking about what Dr. Minkoff does to kill Lyme. But I'm going to bring in a little bit of an interesting discussion with the doctor about his views about killing all of the Lyme disease bacteria. Is it really necessary? What about some of these underlying causes of conditions like ALS or lupus or Parkinson's disease? We're going to have some very interesting discussions, that's for sure. But as a quick reminder, Natural Health 365 Talk Hour show recordings like the one you're listening to right now, special events and discounts are available exclusively for Inner Circle monthly subscribers. Simply click the banner on this page and subscribe today. Dr. Minkoff, as I was just talking about a moment ago, I would really like to hear from you what you do to kill the Lyme and associated organisms. And what I was referring to before is this whole notion of, is it really necessary to be thinking again with that Western mindset that we have to carpet bomb, we've got to kill it all, we can never live the rest of our life with a stitch of Lyme in our body? Similar to my discussions I've had with many cancer experts who say, you know what? What if you could just feel great and live the rest of your life with just a few cancer cells? Could you live with that? And most people would say, of course, I'd love to. So what's your take on all this?
Well, I think you're exactly right that, you know, we are made out of smaller organisms. If you took an average, you know, 5'8", 5'10" male, 160 pounds, and you counted up all the cells in their body, there's like 100 trillion cells in our body. Trillions, these are all individual living organisms. And inside every cell is a little thing called a mitochondria, and that mitochondria is an X bacteria. The DNA in that mitochondria is bacterial DNA. So we are a conglomeration of living organisms. There's always bacteria in our skin. There's always viruses and bacteria and, to some extent, funguses in our tissues and in our intestine. Almost everybody has parasitic infections in their intestines. So this system has a lot of latitude in order to get along with a whole bunch of diversity of life. But when it gets off balance and it can't coordinate this whole thing, then you get sickness. And these external pressures are what wreck that. So this part of our body, our nervous system, which is supposed to regulate and control everything, you start getting heavy metals and pesticides and toxins and then other kinds of bacteria and vaccines and drugs and antibiotics. These are all anti-life things, and they distort the and electromagnetic fields. They distort the balance that all these organisms which make up our body have to be in balance. And when you start to do that, then you start to slide down the slope. And the only way to restore health and vitality and energy and well-being to this whole sort of entity, conglomeration of life, is we've got to put it back to where these things are in balance. And it's right food and right sleep and right environment in order for that they can sort of get along together. Because otherwise you have wars going on, and the body becomes a war zone, and it can't control itself. It can't regulate itself. And then we have disease, and we have people that don't feel good.
I think it's easy to misunderstand initially when you're new to this information. You hear shows like what I do every single week, Dr. Minkoff, and I say, you know, try the best you can to eat organic food and clean up your water, right? And make sure your airspace is as clean as possible and get plants in your immediate indoor environment and take probiotics and on and on and on, right? But the idea is not that when you do this, any one thing or a combination of things is going to make it 100% clean, right? Even the best purified water still has a little something going on in it, right? You're cleaning up the air, you've got plants indoors, all these right things, quote unquote, but you still have these unhealthy, if you will, organisms that are all around us and inside of us. But I just love what you're saying. It's about a balance and making sure we have enough of the good stuff to give us those buffers, right? So that we can sort of navigate through life feeling really good all the days of our life. That's what I believe.
That's right. I mean, the two things that bring people to a doctor's office are fatigue and pain. Those are the biggest two things in a regular doctor or even in a place like mine. What's wrong with you? You know, it's a new person sits down and they've got, you know, they've got 3 inches of medical records that they have. And I simply ask them, what are the major symptoms that are ruining your life? I want to know what we have to get better so that you'll know that you, when you came here, you got what you're paying for. You know, we got a product on you. We got the result that you want. And the top two symptoms are almost always fatigue and pain, okay? And those are two symptoms that the body's out of regulation, that we need to get rebalanced, because when the energy systems of the body turn on, then the body works. If you have a hair cell that can make energy, it will grow hair. If you have a hair cell that doesn't, that can't make energy, it won't grow hair, or hair will fall out. If you have a liver cell that can make energy, it will be able to make proteins and detoxify. And if that cell is got toxins in it and infections in it, and it can't do that, well, then it can't do that. And then you don't get function. We have a thing in our office now where we're able to actually test how well is a person's body able to utilize oxygen and make energy. And it's an objective test. We measure the amount of oxygen they take in, and we measure the amount of carbon dioxide that they breathe out. And it's very interesting because you can exactly determine where is a person's health, because health is body is able to manufacture energy. And ill health is the body can't manufacture energy. Why can't it manufacture energy? It's infected and it's toxic and it's missing things. And it's interesting because yesterday morning I saw somebody who was in very good health. It's a professional athlete. We did this testing on him, and you could see, man, this guy can make energy. No wonder they're such a good athlete. And then the next person to get on the device and do the testing on it is that person was anaerobic at rest. Now, her symptom was she is exhausted, and it's an effort to walk from the bedroom to the bathroom. And when we put her on this test, we found that almost all of her metabolism was anaerobic. She wasn't using oxygen because the area of her body which uses oxygen to manufacture energy, these mitochondria, were all poisoned. And so no wonder she can't move, because she can't make energy. And as we restore these cell systems with her nutrition and her gut and the rest of the stuff that we talked about earlier, she will start to be whole. Hey, I'm coming back. My gut's starting to work. I'm starting to detoxify. I'm not so sensitive. You know, everything isn't bothering me. My energy's coming back. And we can actually objectively measure it, and it's fantastic, because the bottom line on life and health is oxygen. If you can utilize it, you'll be okay. If you can't, you won't. And this is one of the reasons why ozone is such a powerful therapy, because it's oxygen therapy. It's what every cell is craving and hungry for. And we even have an oxygen water. It's a water called Cocoon, K-A-Q-U-N. It actually has liquid oxygen. And when you drink it, your level of oxygen in your body goes up, and it stays there for a couple of hours. There's nothing else like it. And this is a way you can help people, because we have to get oxygen in their body so that they start to use it, because that's the way the body produces energy.
Wow. For my university training, you know, 30 plus years ago, that resonated with me so much, because it was mostly based in exercise physiology and working with high performance athletes. But I so relate to what you're saying, and I've communicated this to people all the time. It's about your energy out versus energy in. You know, what is it you're doing to build up your energy? And make no mistake about it, even though exercise is great, you better have energy to go do exercise, because if you're low in energy, you could do just the littlest bit of exercise thinking it's good for you and only be draining yourself of more energy. So I'm always sensitive to that, always trying to talk to people about that. I think it was absolutely brilliant what you just said. Talk to us about this. We're talking about Parkinson's disease now. rheumatoid arthritis, ALS, lupus. We hear all about these certain conditions, and this may seem a little complicated to a person that's new to this information, but do you find that these people suffering from all these seemingly different conditions could actually be having Lyme disease?
Well, a lot of them do. I mean, they have everything else too, but a lot of them do. And I think, you know, these names these conditions get lull people into thinking that it's an actual disease. You know, like someone says they've got ALS, or they've got Parkinson's disease, or they've got Alzheimer's disease. These aren't real diseases. These are names for some certain symptoms. Or someone does a biopsy and there's pathology, but the name doesn't help you at all with a fix. Because the solutions to these things, the regular medical solutions to these things, are all pharmaceuticals that are designed to try to reduce a symptom. A real good name would be like, what's wrong with me? I come into the office, or someone comes into the office, and they say, my throat is really red, and it's got pus on my tonsils, and I can't swallow, and my temperature's 103. And you look in there, and you say, boy, that might be a virus. It might be a strep throat. Take a culture, or do a swab. You do a rapid strep test, the guy's got a strep throat. Now, that's a real diagnosis. It tells you what it is and why it's there. And so for that person, if he would get a penicillin or oregano oil or gargle hydrogen peroxide or something that would kill that strep, his disease, quote unquote, will go away. You look at Parkinson and you say, what is this? Well, it's not something you can put your finger on it. What do we find with Parkinson's? We find that they've got viruses and chemicals and pesticides and heavy metals and Lyme bacteria and sometimes mycoplasma and cytomegalovirus. They got all the and root canal teeth, and that's the reason for the symptoms that they have. And by golly, if you unwind that and it isn't too late, they will get better. And I've seen many, many cases. We had one this last month. This is a gentleman who came here from Canada, where I'm down in Florida, with a diagnosis of ALS. He went from 170 pounds to 110. When he rolled in the first day, he's in a wheelchair. He's very wasted. He can't hold his head up. He's got a tube in his stomach because he can't swallow, so all his nutrition is some Jevity or some junky stuff that they're putting in his tube. And he can't talk. He's too weak. And we find on him Lyme and some viruses and some bad teeth, and we give him 5 days a week some IV therapies, and in about 3.5 weeks, he's walking. And I saw him at 5 weeks for a recheck, and now he's swallowing and he's eating his food. Now, this was way, way, way too fast for a degenerative neurological condition where all the nerves are dead. He had a lot of nerves that were just very poisoned and very needing of nutrients, and that's why he turned around so fast. And yesterday, he's here for 6 weeks, and he's going to be going back home with a program, and he basically sat here and cried. And he said, the doctor told me that I had 3 months to live and I would be dead. And he said, I know. If I got this better this fast, I can get better. And he's absolutely right. So these conditions are disguises for insurance coding and textbooks, but they have nothing to do with the reality of a sick person and what a doctor really has to do if they're going to rehabilitate that person's health. Because if you think that way, of what are the reasons why this guy got this. This isn't genetic. He wasn't born this way. He wasn't even this way 5 years ago. But if you give him, figure out what are these things that this guy's got that are causing this toxicity in him, you can almost always help him where he will get better or get a lot better than he is and get some quality of life back and maybe even restore him all the way.
Wow, it's just incredible. I hope people are taking this show right now as we speak and sharing it with somebody. If the person you feel needs to hear this doesn't have the energy to listen, I completely understand. but I hope at least you'll get it to their family members so they can understand the importance of what we're talking about here. There is such a disconnect, mostly through the United States for sure, about this kind of information. All of these conditions, neurological problems, could be heavy metal toxicity. Like you said, Dr. Minkoff, it's not irreversible. Get rid of the toxins, improve the nutritional status of the individual, and all of a sudden, a body can literally come alive. We've been talking a lot throughout this program about energy, and I think a lot of what you do, and I'd love for you to share this with us, these energetic evaluations are really important. And I believe it's your opinion that if a physician is not really up to speed with these energetic evaluations, it's going to be very hard to navigate through, right? And to have that physician and the patient, you know, get to a place where, wow, together they've actually defeated Lyme. Can you explain what it is you mean by energetic evaluations?
Well, really, it occurs on a couple of levels. On one level, see, the system that runs the body is a part of the what we call the autonomic nervous system. Autonomic means automatic. So a person can be sitting at a desk, their heart's beating, they're breathing, their digestion's going on, their hormone levels and mineral levels are being controlled, and all of this is done by a part of their nervous system that they don't have to pay any attention to. It's automatic. And this system has contacts with every cell in the body, the inside of the body, the outside of the body, and it takes cues from the environment of it's too cold, it's too hot, it's too windy, there's no air here, there's whatever the conditions are, both inside and outside. And its job is to adjust the body itself so that the body can maintain life in the face of the constant change of the inner and outer environment. So if I'm sitting in my office, right now, the room temperature is 74 degrees. Now outside, it's probably about 50 degrees. When I walk outside, my body senses the cold, and it goes through probably 5 million manipulations of speed up the heart, constrict the blood vessels in my skin, protect me from the cold, turn up my metabolism so that I can produce more body heat, breathe a little faster. I mean, the number of things that would change would be lots of things, okay? And in a healthy state, the body's able to do this all the time. There's even some of these people may have heard of this heart rate variability testing, where a very healthy autonomic nervous system adjusts the heart rate with every beat. You know, you'd think that if you listen to the heart and you count 60, but if you put it on a monitor and you actually measure, a sick heart will beat every beat the same interval, every 1 second. Okay, the heart rate's 60, so on the second, the heart's beating. That's a sick heart. You take a highly trained athlete, and one beat will be 0.9 seconds. The next one will be 1.01. The next one will be 0.98 seconds. It's variable, and the healthier the organism, the quicker it adjusts to change. And so that heart beating at a fixed rate means it's not able to switch, to adapt, to change the environment as measured by the variability of the heart rate in response to cues coming in every millisecond in the body. And a healthy body does. And heart rate is only one way to measure it, but it's an easy way because you can put a monitor on someone and you can watch it. And you can say, gee whiz, and there's graphs for this. Your overall autonomic health is lousy because your body can't adapt very well. And then you can look at someone who's really healthy, and it's, by golly, that body can adapt very, very quickly, and it can adjust things. And that autonomic nervous system, when it's sick, can't work right. And that's what's wrong. Why do you have a headache? Why do you have high blood pressure? Why are you constipated? Why are you, you know, list the symptoms. Why are you depressed? Why can't you sleep? Your autonomic, these are all autonomic functions, and your autonomic nervous system can't work, and it's not working, and that's why you have the symptom. And why doesn't it work? Well, it's poisoned. It's got toxins and heavy metals and pesticides, and on the other side, it's missing stuff. You don't have enough magnesium or selenium or zinc. You've got Lyme toxins, and you've got parasite toxins, and you've got fungal toxins. I just saw a lady, the last patient I saw this afternoon, is a 43-year-old, She was told when she went to see her gynecologist, because she has bilateral, her breasts were very sore and tender and lumps all over the place. And she had an ultrasound done, and it said, this is suspicious for cancer on like 8 different places in both breasts. And she came in to see me. And they want to start biopsying her, and maybe she needs a mastectomy and the whole deal. So I was scared to death, okay? And when I saw her 6 weeks ago and examined her, it was like, holy smokes, there is something bad going on in these breasts, okay? But I've never seen someone with a 43-year-old who's completely healthy, and she's an athlete, come in with 8 to 10 lumps in each breast, and that's cancer. It just didn't fit. So we did some thermography, we did some ultrasound, we did an MRI of her breast, we did some other things, and I put her on an intensive nutritional program, which included some things to balance her, some iodine, some other things, cleaned up her intestine, and she came back in here at 6 weeks to get rechecked, and she said, my breasts feel completely different. The lumps are almost all gone. They're soft. They don't hurt anymore. And she redid the thermography yesterday, and I haven't seen the result yet, but she's going to be fine. I did some tests to screen her for breast cancer, some blood tests to screen her for blood cancer, and they were all negative. This girl doesn't have breast cancer. She's got a disturbance of her system. She had no progesterone, real high estrogen. She has imbalances that messed up her body's regulation system. And when we restore that, when we like, what are those things that the body needed in order to control or get rid of in order so that it could control, boom, in 6 weeks, you get this magical change. And she doesn't need biopsies, and she doesn't need all this stuff. She's going to be completely fine. And she just needs some help. And it's interesting. On her stool test, 4 parasites plus yeast plus 2 toxic bacteria with almost no symptoms in her gut. She didn't think anything was wrong. And she actually wasn't eating that bad. But she travels a lot. She was actually born in Ecuador, and she has family down there, and she goes back and forth, and she got these infestations, and they were a large source of toxicity in her. So we can help people. We just have to, as physicians and healthcare practitioners, we have to just be smarter, and we have to open our eyes, and we have to look. We have to listen to people. We have to test them so that we can find out what are the things that are doing this, and when we do, we can get them better.
Dr. Minkoff, just in the last minute that we have left here, I know we've already covered a lot of ground and given a lot of people lots to think about, but if someone thought they had Lyme disease or they actually do have it, so that they don't waste any time and money, some other suggestions as we just close out the show in the last couple minutes.
I think that you've got to see a healthcare practitioner that has experience with Lyme and that can think outside the box and that isn't going to, you know, if you call them up and they're an ILADS doctor, you know, a doctor that's doing the basic ILADS antibiotic program, I would not go there first. I don't think that approach usually works. I think you have to see somebody who is doing nutritional therapies, who has experience with Lyme, and they can help you. And there's an American Academy of Ozone Therapy, some of the doctors there, some of the doctors at the American Academy of Environmental Medicine. These guys are going to be doing IV nutritional therapies, maybe with ozone, maybe with some other things. But if I went to the doctor or you call the doctor and how do you handle Lyme? Well, we give antibiotics for months and years and years and years. I just don't think that most of the time that's the right way to go. You've got to find somebody who's going to look at the person as a whole person and test them effectively to find out what's going on and then use therapies that are going to support the person and not further intoxicate them.
Dr. Minkoff, I want to thank you so much for your time, and I want to thank our listeners for joining us today. For more information about Dr. Minkoff, you can visit LifeWorksWellnessCenter.com. Next week, we'll have a great show for you. Be sure to check this page for updates coming soon. If you know someone who would like to hear these free weekly shows, tell them to go to NaturalHealth365.com and register now. Natural Health 365 Talk Hour show recordings, special events, and discounts are available exclusively for Inner Circle monthly subscribers. Simply click the banner on this page and subscribe today. I'm your host, Jonathan Landsman. I hope you enjoyed this program. Thank you so much for your support. Talk to you soon. Take care.